outside, but I'm thankful we can be here together. Let's start with our verse. Very much. Are there any announcements this morning? Tim?
On March 27th, Friday, that is not this coming Friday, but the next one, we are doing the second annual 50-style diner night at the school in the gym. And this one is being designated as a fundraiser for Monty and Regina because of medical expenses. And we want you to invite your neighbors, friends, whoever you want to. Last time we did not open it up because we didn't know how we could handle the crowd. We're thinking maybe we can handle it this time. So don't be shy to invite. If you will keep watch over your statuses, I think they'll be lighting up here with a day or two with details and reminders and all of that. So let's keep it in mind and let's show up and have a good time.
Thank you, Tim. Anyone else? Okay. If not, let's come back this evening at 7 o'clock. I believe it's our, am I right on that? Is it our CE program tonight? So let's come back for that. Thought we might mention too, the annual meeting is this week in Dodge City. So you can be praying for that, and there'll probably be some call out information for an evening or so there that we'll put on a quick alert when we get that. So I'd like to welcome each of you as visitors here this morning. Make yourselves at home with us. Thankful that Jenica's parents are with us this weekend, and Keith and I have shared a couple of times here over the last couple of days, and he has an inspiration this morning. He said that he was willing to share with us, so thankful for that. Let's be praying for the service. I think we'll just open it up too. If one of you brethren would have an introduction, that would be open for that. Let's start with a song.
Let's take our gospel hymns and turn to number 185. 185. There's something I know I plainly can see, so gently it comes and it settles on me. God made it in heaven, it comes from above, a beautiful something, the wonder of love. The wonder of love to me is
Good morning. Good to be here. Not certain if this is the right time or not, but I'll take advantage of it. You know, this morning when I got up, that scripture, John chapter 3, said, reminded me that the wind bloweth where it listeth. And I stepped out and got in my truck. Next thing I knew, it blew me south to Fairview. So I'm glad to be here. You know, I was reminded of a story this past week, something that I'd heard some time ago. It's a good story. It may not make much sense to you, but it's a story about a mason, a man that was a bricklayer, and he had finished his job, and there was several pallets of bricks up on top of the building. So he went up to the top of the building, and he got his bricks together. He put out an extension arm with a pulley, and he went down, and he raised a barrel up. He filled the barrel with bricks, he climbed down, he untied the rope, and the bricks began to fall. Well, he failed to remember to let go of the rope, and it began to pull him up, and about halfway up, the barrel hit him in his shoulder and gave him a severe wound, and he held on to that rope just as tight as he could. And when he got to the pulley, his fingers got caught into the pulley, and the bricks hit the ground. And when the bricks and the barrel hit the ground, the bottom fell out, the bricks laid on the ground, and the barrel started coming up. He remained to hold on to that rope, and as he fell, the barrel came up and hit him right in the shin and gave him another bad wound. And he fell onto the ground, and when he got on the ground, he came to his senses, and he thought, I better let go of this rope. And he let go of the rope, and all of a sudden, the barrel started falling on, coming back down. And it hit him on the head. And you know, he made a mistake. He didn't understand. He was quite perplexed. He thought, now how in the world did I get myself in this position? How did I find myself all beat up, all banged up, all full of pain? And I was just trying to do what was right. You know, I think about that in my own life. There's times that I try to do right. I try to do good. I try to make a difference, but yet I find myself perplexed, not understanding why difficult things come to good people, why hard things happen, bad things happen to people who try to do their very best. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servants, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You know, how many of us this morning, we find ourselves doing our very, very best, wanting to do what's right, wanting to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. But things happen. You know, I think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, when you know the story well. It talks about Joseph being a man of God who had followed God's direction, had found his place in Potiphar's house. Potiphar had put so much trust in him that he began to have great responsibility, and he was doing the things that were right. And you know the rest of the story. He comes in contact with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife begins to, in an unacceptable manner, make a play for him, and he finds himself in a mess. She makes the comment to those around that Joseph had assaulted her. She may have messed her hair up. She may have torn her clothes. She may have even scratched her face. But Potiphar found out and placed him into prison. He was doing right, but yet something bad happened. Think about Job. I think about Habakkuk. When Habakkuk would look at the Chaldeans and all things were going well for them, and he couldn't understand why good things were happening to those people that were doing so evil. You know, we read in the paper, we look at our news feeds, and we think about all the bad things that are happening in society today. And I wonder how many of us stop and say, God, why is this happening? I don't understand. We think of John the Baptist, who was referred to as one of the greatest men, or actually the greatest ever born of woman. Herod placed him into prison, and while he was in prison, he was perplexed, and he didn't understand why things were so difficult. He even sent those out to question Christ. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that's truly coming, or should we find someone else? John the Baptist didn't understand. Paul, the greatest Christian there ever was, beside Christ being our example. He sends a letter to the Corinthians, and he said, we're perplexed. We don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. And I look across the room this morning, and I see my brethren who are doing your very best. I look at the ladies who are doing everything they can to serve God in a manner that's pleasing, but yet bad things continue to happen. But then I'm reminded of a verse in Proverbs 3, one that so many of us quote. And I believe the key is in this very first part of this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to understand. Just trust. Even in the midst of your perplexion, even in the midst of your inability to understand why, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. This morning, I wonder how many of us are doing our best, but yet seem to be in the midst of a constant battle. Let's kneel and pray. Father, as we kneel this morning, we kneel as a people who say that we have all trust, that we believe you, we believe in you, we call upon you, seeking your direction for our life. But yet, Lord, there's times that we just seem to be at wit's end. Father, we're so much like that man who held upon that rope, going up and down, being battered by the the ways of the world being battered by so much struggle and strife and turmoil. Father, I can say there's been times that I just want to throw my hands up. But Father, I'm so thankful that when we humble ourselves, admit that we don't understand, lay upon our face before you, Lord, that's when you speak so clearly to our hearts, giving us understanding, giving us direction, showing that there is hope, showing that there is help. Father, it's much more than what will happen today. But Father, it's what will happen in eternity. Father, let us remain to be faithful. Lord, help us, even in the midst of difficult times, to trust you, to lean not on our own understanding, but to always acknowledge you. And Lord, your word tells us that's when you will direct our path. That's when you clear the murk from our eyes, the mire from our eyes, and help us see clearer. Help us see clearly so that we can follow your direction. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful that you care. And we just pray that you'll keep us in the center of that care, that someday we'll be with you in that promised home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 226 in the hymnal, No Hope in Jesus, 226. No friend, no life.
morning to each one of you. It's good to be here with you in church this morning. And we've met quite a number of you through the last day or two already, and it's been a blessing. We enjoy coming here. And we're happy our daughter can be in your congregation. It's a good place. You know, it's with trembling that I stand here, and I would ask an interest in your prayers that I could bring what the Lord's inspiration would be for you to have, for myself to have. It seems like usually these inspirations that come to me are for me just as well as much or more than for anyone else. And I want to take what the Lord has for me in this as well, because I believe I have a need. And the verse that was brought in our introduction here that caught my attention was that one out of Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I believe that that is the central verse in the Bible. If you were to count the verses from front to back, New Testament through Old Testament, I think that's the center verse. And to me, that's symbolic. Isn't that actually crucial? Absolutely central to our faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that's the central verse in the Bible is kind of interesting to me. And let's do that. That's what I want to do this morning. And it seems to me that my thoughts stemmed from some thoughts that I saw in one of my cousin's statuses this last week. Kind of got me started thinking. And while statuses can be light and airy and not much to them, I felt like this one had something to it, and it was based on the Bible. And I'm going to just read that, and then I want to read the account in the Bible that this is talking about. And maybe many of you have read this, but it says, "You aren't enough. But neither were two fish and five loaves bread enough. Five loaves of bread enough for thousands of people." And look what Jesus did with that. Let's go to John 6. St. John. And let's just read that little story, that little miracle, big miracle that Jesus did here for the people. I think we'll just read the whole story. Start at John 6, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Truly a miracle, what Jesus did here. And the people were impressed. It left a deep impression on them. And I think if we'd have continued reading here, it talks about how the Jews would have liked to have taken him by force and made him their king. But I was thinking of that part. You know, what Jesus can do with the little that we have to offer. How complete he can make what we have, what we are willing to give. You know, if we can be as a child, like I was just impressed as I thought of this lad. I don't know how old he was, but he was a young lad. And I can just imagine, you know, when he realized that Jesus was wondering what these people would all eat, how in his childish humility, his childish care and concern, he just willingly offered that little lunch that he had. Are we willing to do that? I've wondered, am I willing to do that? You know, and it came to me as I was thinking about bringing something here. You know, it didn't feel like I had very much to bring. And yet, what could I do? If this was my 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves, was I going to just hold them here? Sometimes these little inspirations we get are just for us. That's true. But it seemed like maybe this time I should just share it. Was I going to just hold that here? Are you going to just hold that little thing that you can do? Or are you humble enough to share it? Even when it feels like it is not enough. You know, we quite often feel that way, that I'm just not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not being a good enough parent. So often I fail. So often I get impatient. So often I get upset. Whatever our weaknesses are, we're just not enough. But are we doing what we can? Are we trusting in God that what I am doing is enough? And he can bless it and multiply it. I was thinking a little bit about young parents of smaller children, maybe especially. It seems like sometimes we try and we try and we try to get a point across to our children, to teach our children, and it just kind of feels like we're just not getting anywhere. Nothing's happening. The same thing happens day after day. But I'd just like to encourage you. Keep trying. Keep doing what you can. And the Lord may not turn those 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves into a miracle today, right in front of your eyes. But it may be happening slowly. It may be happening slowly, slowly. And it may take years for that miracle, for that blessing to come back to you. But today, as you try to teach your child to clean out his plate at lunchtime, as fathers, you teach your child to eat a little bit of everything that mama cooked today, whether they like it or not, as you teach them that it is not right to say this food is yuck. You know, just little things like that. Because mom made it. As you teach them that church isn't the place for a game of tag after the service. As you try to teach your young people what the world is, to help them understand the dangers that they may not see. And we feel so incomplete. We feel helpless sometimes, and we feel like we don't see any change. But as we offer ourselves, as we offer what we have, even if we don't see the results today, the Lord can complete it. He can bless those loaves and fishes, our efforts. And it goes into so many areas of life and so many places where we just feel like we're not quite enough. We feel like maybe our brother could do it so much better. Like he would really have more the gift to do what I'm trying to do. And yet the Lord seems to want us to do it. He's placed that responsibility on our hearts and on our lives. And when we have done what we know to do, it doesn't matter how successful it feels like we've been, but it's complete. We can rest. We can be at peace. We don't need to feel inferior. Inferiority is pride. We can just be what we are. We can do what we can do. And we can feel the blessing of God. That's what we would like. And yet sometimes our striving for perfection leaves us in a bit of a muddle. And the Lord would like us to just trust Him that it is enough. Then there's a few verses here out of Colossians I'd like to read. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 5 to 10. Colossians 2, 5 to 10. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, he gives us some instructions here. We're not going to be complete in Christ unless we are doing the best we can, unless we are it talks about steadfastness in our faith, being rooted and built up in him. It talks about abounding therein with thanksgiving. There are things that are required of us. There's quite a bit of thought out there that you know, Christ will just accept us all, that whatever kind of a person we've been, as long as we've tried to do a few good things, and surely he will just accept us. And that isn't a Bible truth. He will accept us, but we will have had to have followed his plan for our lives. And so this is a little encouragement just to be faithful, just to follow. It's not going to all just happen by itself. It's going to take some effort. But when that effort is made, we can rest. And I would just like that to be an encouragement to each one of us. And I was thinking too, as Matt announced this morning, this is annual meeting coming up this week. And it's a time of blessing for the church, I believe. And not nearly everyone in the conference can attend annual meeting. But we can all pray. We can all be concerned. And it seems like our congregations at home can be such a support to the annual meeting, not only to this meeting, but I'm thinking of the church. You know, how do you feel? What does the church mean to you? Can we submit our light, our thoughts, to the proving of the brethren in the church when our thoughts don't quite line up with the church? It seems to me like that submission to God's church, submission to our brethren, submission to what our congregation decides, even just among your own group, maybe even the committee that you're on. When your thought doesn't carry, others seem to see a better way. Can we submit to that? Submission and humility are part of this plan. They're part of God's plan. And it brings us close together. And we can have that love that we studied about in Sunday school. It was maybe we were talking about Father's love there. But we can have that love in our congregations. When a congregation loves, when we love each other, we will also love the church, I believe. And when we love the church and we love our brethren, we love God. That's how the Bible says that all men will know that we love them if we have love one to another. And that's beautiful. What you have here, what we have as fellowship in our congregations, what we have as a church is what millions of people are wishing they could have. And they don't know how to get it. They don't know where to find it. And we've been blessed enough to have been placed in a situation where God has revealed this to us and where we can live in this blessing. And let's share it with others. Let's let this be seen. And resist the devil's tools of wanting to break this up with that's just the way we are. We're human, and we think we're right many times. But let's resist that tool of the devil, and give in to God, His church, to our brethren. Let's love the church, and teach that to our children. I don't know exactly how we teach that to our children, because I believe it is more caught than taught. And maybe I've said this here before, because I have said it different times when I talk. But my dad, he's gone now, but he would talk about, he would sometimes say, talking about a family, home, he would say those were church people. And he wasn't meaning that they were only a member of the Church of God, but he was meaning that they were supportive members, 100%. and it had a bearing on their families. And I can even think of families who perhaps were not always faithful, but even in their unfaithfulness, those parents had a certain respect for the Church of God that left an impression on their children. And those children, even though they were living under the influence of maybe offended parents and whatever, they caught something. Do we have that faith? Do we have that in our hearts, that God has a church, and that church has a direction that will keep his people safe if we follow it? God is the head. That's the only reason it's safe. And I hadn't really planned to talk about this, but it just kind of came to me. And let's have that faith. Let's have that understanding. And when we see the way God works in the church today, we can embrace that faith, that this is the truth. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning. We thank you for the service we could have here. We just pray that you would impress our hearts with your love. Impress our hearts with the completeness that you give as we give. Lead us this day. We pray that you would be with the church as we meet later this week, that there could be direction and guidance and unity in your spirit and in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 380 in the hymnal. 380, pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Do me, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
stand for the benediction. Our Father, we just turn to you this morning with thankful hearts at the close of this service. Lord, we are thankful for you and for your plan and for the many, many, many ways that you fill our needs. For the many ways that you have, we're thankful for each other. We're thankful, Lord, that we can trust you, and we just simply want to trust you, follow you, to be of service to you, Lord, in whatever small ways that you ask. Thank you for the willingness of our brother for sharing, both of our brethren this morning for sharing. And we thank you, Lord, for this way that you have. We're thinking, too, of those who are facing health conditions in our congregation. Just continue to be with each one, be with those that have needs, be with those who are struggling. Just continue to lead us all, Lord. Do not pass us by. Just continue to lead us that someday